You're listening to the Grace Church Podcast, a weekly podcast dedicated to bringing you biblical guidance to life's most important issues. We want to thank you for joining us for this week's message. We pray you find strength and encouragement as we learn from God's truth together. For more information, go to visitgracechurch.com.
So I've been asking people over the last week or so this question over and over, and it illustrates, I think, how different our culture is today from what it was, 50, 60 years ago. So I'll ask you, what is your first response? So you're at home, you're in your apartment, and someone actually knocks at your door. Or they actually ring your bell. Ding dong. What is your first thing in your mind? What is your first response? Is it a positive response? Okay, I cannot find anybody who likes this. Maybe you're a Sasquatch or a unicorn. I can't find you. Come track me down. You like when someone unannounced, untexting ahead of time, rings your bell, knocks your door. So here's the thing. So it happens. What do you think when someone knocks your door? People are like, man, oh no, they want something. I said, why is that? I don't want to be interrupted. I have people say, they sit back, shh, maybe they won't know we're here. One lady I talked to, I asked the question. She said, my husband arms himself before he goes to the door. I said, remind me never to come to your door. That is scary. What's interesting is that I'm no different. Okay, doorbell rings, door knock, man, oh no. That's my first thought. Then I say, oh Lord, I'm sure it's a good thing. Then you go out there. So my first ministry when I served in church, I became a Christian before my sophomore year in college. I found a church in something that used to be called a phone book that they used to distribute. Now you Google stuff. But I found a church and I started serving in ministry. Why? Because that's what Christians do. You don't go to a church and not serve a ministry any more than my hand is a part of my body and does nothing. It hurts the body and my hand shrivels. So I served in ministry. I was in a door knocking ministry, bus ministry. I'd go up to doors every Saturday morning, knock on doors of families we knew to invite the kids the next day to come jump on the bus and come to church. A door knocking ministry. Hey guys, tomorrow is this thing. It's Gummy Worm Sunday. Love to invite you out. Bus is coming by it. 8 o'clock or whatever. I'll tell you a weird feeling when you're a door knocker and you hear people in there and they don't answer the door. Like, come on, that self-esteem. The door is also a great metaphor for people. So there are people that you knock on the door metaphorically, you try to start a conversation with and they don't open up to you. You ever done that before? Somebody you care about, you love, they won't open up. So you say, hey, how's it going? Fine. It didn't work. You love this person. They're not letting you in. Hey, so is there anything I can pray for you these days or whatever? No, I'm fine. How do you feel when someone is intentionally keeping you out? Someone you love, you desire a relationship with, and they don't let you in. It hurts. And you can't force your way in. If you try to force your way in, door gets closed. There comes locks. They are keeping you out. Here's my question for you. You realize Jesus can be, now if you receive Jesus Christ as Savior, Jesus lives inside your body. I mean, look at your body. If you receive Christ as Savior, He's in there in the Holy Spirit, sealing your spirit, your one spirit with the Lord. But through life, Jesus can get on the outside of your life. Though He's inside your soul, He can be on the outside of you, metaphorically. Which side of the door is Jesus on? Is He an outsider to you right now? Or is He an insider to you? Is He on the outside of a relationship, an area, a direction, or you? Oh, and is He knocking? Do you hear God? I don't hear God at all. I don't think I hear God at all. Really? We'll talk about that. You sure you don't? Or is He an insider? Have you opened the door? Like, come on in. You have access. I just want you. I know you want me. Is Jesus on the inside? So it's a verse, Revelation 3, verse 20, we're going to look at. If you want to open your Bible there, Revelation 3, 20 is the key verse we'll center on. He says, behold, this is Jesus talking through his best friend, humanly speaking, the Apostle John. That was his best friend in this life. And he tells John, sends letters to seven churches. This is one of those seven churches. Says, John, would you please pass this message on to this church? Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone in that church, this is an operating church. Like, they have services. They pass out Bibles. They sing. They serve. They gather together in smaller groups. And Jesus is on the outside. He's knocking to see if he can be a part of any Christian's life in that church. Knock, knock, knock. The church is going on. He's on the outside. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone, any man, any woman, any student, any child opens, hears my voice and opens the door. It's your choice. It's my choice to open the door. I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. So here's the question. Today, will you open the door? Will you open the door? Because Jesus is knocking. He knocks. Somebody say knock. But he's polite. He knocks. He waits. He knocks. He waits. He won't force his way into your world. But he will knock. And he is speaking to you, by the way. We'll talk about that as well. Will you open the door? So let's go ahead and pray. God, I pray that you would speak to all of us. I said, pray you would. I know you're speaking to us. How about if I pray you'd help us to hear you? Lord, would you help us to hear the different ways you're speaking? You're prompting, you are knocking, you want to be an insider in my life, in my soul, in every one of us, and people joining us online. You want to be an insider in their life as well. Jesus, thank you that 2,000 years ago, you loved me and us so much. That you came to this world, you lived the perfect life we never could. You died and paid for my sins and our sins. And you were buried and you rose again. And witness after witness after witness saw you. And they were changed forever, which changed this world forever. And you are alive today. I pray you help us to both hear your voice, because you do speak constantly, and open the door. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so I want to give you the context of this one verse. So this is one of the seven letters to the churches of Revelation. Those churches were located in what we call today as Turkey. Back in the day, they were called Asia Minor. And they basically had a four-part, all seven letters of these seven churches in Revelation 2 and 3 follow the same four-part outline. They always start, Jesus says who he is. And he customizes who he is, that part of who he is, for what that church needs. Then he talks about their relationship. Strengths, weaknesses, in the case of Laodicea, no strengths, but that's okay, he still loves them, is there. And then counsel, how do you address the weaknesses in your relationship with Christ? And finally, promises. Promises are huge because Christianity is a promise-based religion. If you view Christianity like a list of do's and don'ts, you've missed it. It is not a list of do's and don'ts, of commandments, of rights and wrongs. Christianity is a list of promises that you believe. The heart of Christianity is, God, you say you paid for all my sins and they are gone. Do I believe that or not? You say that I am accepted not based on what I do or don't do. You say you chose me before time began. You say you are in charge of my future and you can take all bad things, even bad things, turn it around for good. It's a belief-based religion. And once you believe, I believe this promise, then you do. Then you do. If you think it's a list of do's and don'ts, you have missed the boat. And you have that's a dead religion, not a life-giving relationship with Christ. Now, that's very uplifting. So here's the thing. I mean it to be uplifting. I'm listening to myself going, well, that's kind of harsh. So let's go through the church of Laodicea and see this message of this church. He feels like he's in the outside of. And so what does Jesus say to this church? He says, well, first of all, he customizes who he is. I am the beginning, middle, and end. He says, that's what this church needs to know. I'm the God of history. I started history. I created it. I created you. I'm the middle. I'm the witness. Jesus is the witness of how God feels, thinks, and what he says, what he does. You can witness by his life, his words. The word witness even means martyrdom. It's the word martyr, Greek word martyr. His death and resurrection witnesses who God is. And he's the end. He's the amen. He's the last word on history. He will fulfill all his promises. He's the last word on your life. He's the amen. Look what he says. And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the amen. He's the last word. The faithful and true witness. He's the middle. The beginning of the creation of God. That's who Jesus is. He's not just a good prophet or a moral teacher. If you think he's just that, you missed the boat. He is the beginning, middle, and end. Then he says what every person would love to hear. I'd hate to hear my wife says, honey, I am just madly lukewarm in love with you. So he says, your love is lukewarm. Your love is lukewarm. He says, I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit. Vomit you out of my mouth. So apparently Jesus likes his food and drinks like I like mine. I like my drinks cold, my food hot, and not lukewarm. And so there are three spiritual temperatures. Which one are you? Cold, hot, and lukewarm. What is cold spiritually? Not pretending to follow Jesus. Not even pretending. Just not following Jesus, not caring who sees it. What is hot spiritually? You're on fire for God. You've let him in. Not everything's perfect, and not that everything's wonderful, but you sense peace and joy. No matter what's going on around you, you believe his promises. You are committed to having a Christ-centered life that's hot spiritually. What is lukewarm? Well, you got the appearance of hot, but you're not. So you are maybe going to church, maybe reading your Bible, maybe praying, maybe serving, maybe even leading. You look like you're hot, but you're not, because the soul is just lukewarm. And so he says, then he says, you don't even realize it. Here's the crazy thing. He's knocking at the door. They don't realize it. They're lukewarm. They don't realize it. They're not self-aware. He says this, verse 17, because you say, what do you say about yourself spiritually? Well, I'm rich. I've become wealthy. I have need of nothing. When they are asked how they're doing spiritually, they default to how they're doing physically. How are you doing these days? You doing well? I tell you, things are pretty good. School's going well. Grades are good. Physical. Job's going well. Got money in the bank. At least I'm paying my bills. I don't have lots, but I'm paying my bills. Kind of healthy. Things are going well. Physical, physical, physical. He says they're not aware. They don't know that they're lukewarm. He says, verse 17. That was fantastic. That's not in my notes. And you do not know. You don't know. You don't know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, naked. You don't know the real state of yourself spiritually. Unaware. Looking physically, but not spiritually. So he counsels them to focus on the spiritual. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire that you may be rich. What are riches spiritually? Buy from him. By the way, they're free. You buy them because you asked for them. What are spiritual riches? Well, they're things that last forever. The Word of God, the souls of people. Only two things last forever. The Word of God, the souls of people. That's it. Everything else goes away. So that's spiritual riches. God, the Word of God, souls of people. That's spiritual riches. Then he says, buy from me this free clothing, white garments that you may be clothed, and that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. See, God sees things spiritually. When you're walking with Jesus, you are clothed with him. Both spiritual armor, spiritual clothing, that's Colossians 2, that's Ephesians 6. God sees you spiritually and sees, man, they're clothed, they're suited up, they're armored up. When you don't walk with Jesus, he's like, put some clothes on. Seriously, you're out there on your own. He says this, Anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. Start seeing people spiritually. Instead of just seeing if their life is going well or not, which is physical, how is their soul? Is their soul close to Jesus, growing closer, committed to Jesus? Then he says, I say all this because I love you. As many as I love, verse 19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. So the amazing thing about this is when you're on the outside of someone you love and you'd like to be let in, you might think that God is angry with you and upset with you and just wants in and to let you have it once he gets in there. He just wants a relationship with you. When someone finally lets you in after you're dying for them to let you in, and they finally let you in, is your first order of business to beat them up for keeping you out? Or do you just like, thank you. That's Jesus. So I got three questions from this verse. Go back to Revelation 3:20. Here's my first question. Is Jesus on the outside? Is he on the outside or inside? Is he an outsider or an insider? It hurts to be kept on the outside. It says this. He's on the outside of a church. Outside of Christians. Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. Is Jesus on the outside? So here's a promise to believe. He does stand at the door of your life and he knocks. He stands at the door of his church. There are churches in our community. I've been praying, asking God, I don't think that's our church, honestly, that he's on the outside. But there are churches that are operating. He's on the outside of them. Can I please come into church too? How about your life? Why do you not want to let somebody in? Well, you are afraid. Yes, you're afraid. You're afraid of what they'll do. That's why I don't let people in. I'm concerned with what they'll do. And what do we do, by the way, when we let people into our house sometimes? We have our grace group. We take our house and all the junk everywhere and we shove it into closets, into rooms. I am the king of shoving junk elsewhere so it looks better. That's what many of us want to do. We don't want to let Jesus in until we fix ourselves. We're back here in this, behind this door. We're like back here just scrambling, putting this away, but hide this. Okay, okay, now you can come in. If you think you got to fix yourself before you let him in, that is wrong. That's faking it. He sees through the door. I see you. I'm like Superman. And I can see through lead too. I can see what you're trying to hide. He sees it. We try to fix things, don't we? Is he on the outside? What does he want to do when he gets in? It's this Middle Eastern meal example. It's time. It's relationship. Middle Eastern meals are very slow. They're relational. Here comes some courses. You talk, you eat, they go away. Courses, you talk, you eat. I want to dine with you, not beat you up. I want you to dine with me. It means I want to talk to you. I want to hear from you. When you let him in, letting him in is just like when somebody lets them in, you into their world. You feel like there's a relationship. There's candor. There's transparency. There's this is who I am. There's acceptance. That's what he wants from us. That's what he wants. It's not a list of do's and don'ts and check the box and make you happy. And now, is Jesus on the outside or inside? That's the question. Okay, so here's the second question for this verse. We'll go back over here. So Jesus knocks. He says, I stand at the door and knock. Do you hear him? Are you listening for Jesus? Oh, by the way, here's a variety of areas. I forgot to share this. How do you know Jesus on the outside? An area of your life? Is it outside of your finances? He's God of everything else but your finances. Everything else but that relationship. Everything else but this dark wound in your past. Everything else but this pattern in your life. Everything else but this direction or you. It's a variety of ways that he gets on the outside. Now, do you hear him? Do you hear Jesus knocking? So you say, just ask yourself, yeah, did I hear from Jesus this past week? Has Jesus spoken to you? Nope. I don't think he speaks to me at all. I wish he'd speak to me. I wish God would speak to me. Really. So I'm going to confess something. I'm not proud of at all. It's a strength when I'm working, but not if I'm like watching TV or just surfing the internet. It's my gift of concentration. Okay, I don't know why God made me this way, but I can focus and block everything out, which is awesome when you got to get stuff done. But it's not good if you're watching TV and your child is trying to talk to you. So this is what I hear happens, because I don't hear it. Dad, this is shameful. Dad, it's funny. Then you're like, oh, really? Dad, I'll tell you what happens. My wife finally breaks through. Dad! Yes, and she asked me the question, do you not hear your kids talking to you? And I say, no. And she says, how can you not hear them? Here, don't miss this. So really, I can have a human talking to me and not hear them. Does Jesus talk to you? You say, well, I wish he didn't talk to me. Are you sure? Or do I need to say, hey, he is talking to you. You're just so focused on other things, you're not hearing his voice. Because he says, any person hears my voice. Anybody hears my voice. His voice is talking to you. Now, one of our interns, Kelsey McFadden, with our summer internship, student ministries, asked me the question, hey, Tim, how do you answer a student who says, why doesn't God speak to me? I started with, good question. First of all, they expand the list of God speaking to you. Here's a list of God speaking to you. They're probably looking for a voice, an almost audible voice. That happens, but it's rare. How do you know it's rare? Because the thoughts and promptings can come all the time, but the almost audible voice is rare. Solomon heard from God. God makes a huge deal in the Bible when he says, God spoke to Solomon twice in his life. Twice. I was looking back at a list of like 9-10 moments where God clearly spoke to me. But then I started looking at the list, remembering how much were like almost audible voices. Three. God speaks to me all the time, very definitively. But the almost audible voice, 3 for me, 2 for Solomon. How does God speak to you? Bible verses. So the Bible, if you just write down 2 Peter chapter 1, the Bible's more sure than the audible voice of God. If you think you heard God's voice, you think you heard a prompting from God, and it contradicts the Bible, you did not hear from God. What you heard from is either yourself making it up, somebody else making it up, or a demon. Those are 3 sources for that. Bible verses. That's why I have Bible reading as a part of my daily time with God. Because God still speaks to me. He reminds me of his word. Reminds me. A thought. God prompts a lot like this. A thought, a prompting. It's why Paul said one time, a few times, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, every thought of you. So, when God places somebody on your mind, and you're like, why am I thinking about that dude? I've not thought about them in a long time. Pray for them. Okay, God, well, I pray for so-and-so. Then text them. I'm not sure what's going on, but I decided to pray for you just now. You keep in mind, I can't tell you how often I've heard stories of people saying, thank you. You text me, pray for me at the right time. God spoke to you. Promptings, thoughts, comment. You're like, what do I do about this? Somebody rolls up on you and just says, well, you ought to do this. That's amazing. I just wish God spoke to me. God did. Just speak to you through other people. Through other people. A coincidence. A friend of mine had a dark moment in her past that she had locked away and buried, didn't want to think about. But she felt like God prompted her to process that for the first time, to get a new level of freedom. So she went to go get a journal. And she got a journal. She went to the Christian bookstore, looking for a journal. And saw a journal that said Isaiah 41:10. I don't want a verse on the outside of my journal. I want my own journal. And so she got a different journal, came back talking to somebody, not me, some guy, and Christian leader, and The guy said, well, what are you afraid of in this process? And talked about some of the fears of processing this dark moment in her past, and talking about fear, and gets a text from her friend, which said, Isaiah 41:10, which they looked up, and it says, do not fear. There's coincidences. A verse, 41:10, a comment, fear. God speaks all the time, circumstances. He can shut you down by not giving you the permit or the money or the agreement. I just wish God would speak to me. He can shut down circumstances. That's Acts chapter 16. Are you listening for Jesus? Or are you waiting for the twice in his life almost audible voice that Solomon got? Because if you limit the communication, you're not going to hear from him very often. But he says, I stand at the door and I knock. So he is knocking and if you hear my voice, he's prompting all the time. So do you hear Jesus? Here's my final question. Is it time to let him in? Is it time to let him in? You ever been there when someone's knocking at your door, you don't want to let them in? I hope they go away. Let's all be quiet. Some of us are treating Jesus like that. I'm afraid. You're afraid of what he's going to do to you or change when he gets in. You feel like you got to clean up everything. What God wants you to do is just come on in. It's time to open the door. So you say, how do I open the door? There's three ways you can open the door, by the way. So I call this regular strength, extra strength, prescription strength, opening the door. And some of us need to take all three medicines. But so here they are. First of all, setting a time with God daily. This is one of the three prayer requests that our pastors are praying for you this year. And I'm praying on a daily basis, almost every day, for you to have time with God daily. I'm not talking, it could be any amount of time, and it could look very different than mine. 3 minutes. This would be a huge win for some people to commit to 3 minutes a day with God. Or five. Could you find 3 minutes or 5 minutes a day where there's a little bit of prayer time and a little bit of a few verses of Bible reading and thanking him and like 5 minutes. This would be the game-changing, life-changing decision. Setting aside time with God daily. What I'm doing these days with mine, so back in the summer I was prompted to commit a certain amount of time that I commit to every day. I do it most days. I'm kind of keeping a running track record. Sometimes it's half, but most of the days I'm doing it, not all of them. You don't beat yourself up. It's not a list of do's and don'ts. But in that time, what do? I get a journal and I start out write every day. I get my cup of coffee in the morning. Most every day I write, Dear Lord, and I just start writing. Some days I'll just write a long letter, just pouring out my heart. Asking him things. I'll often just write, what do you want to talk about today? Sometimes I'm prompted to be thankful. So I say, I'm going to write everything I'm thankful for. That list just goes on and on. There's a lot to be thankful for. Sometimes I'm prompted to confess sin. All right. And I go to the pastors with lists of sins. I just confess, I read that. Oh yeah. Is there any sins I need to confess? I need to confess sin. Sometimes I pray for people. I get one of the Psalms and pray them, or some of the prayers of Paul, and I'll pray like this. Lord, I pray for myself, my wife, Kathy, my son, Jacob, daughter, Karina, daughter, Malin, and I pray for Grace Church. And I add other people. I pray. And I have a chapter a day. I kind of jot some notes down. That's mine. What's yours look like? Like, this is a game changer. If you would just set aside 5 minutes with God every day. 5 minutes. Sometimes it'll expand, sometimes shrink, sometimes you'll miss it. Don't beat yourself up. This is a game changer. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come, Middle Eastern meal, I'll come into you, I'll dine with you, you with me. That's what he longs for. Regular strength, extra strength, opening the door. Surrendering an area, a person, yourself. See, you know what this area is. I've been talking about surrendering an area, and you know what it is. It's that relationship. It's your finances. It's that situation. It's the school you're going to. It's the direction you have. It's the house you live in. I'm not sure what it is. You know what it is. It is time. It is time to surrender. Open the door and let him in. His goal is not to come in and beat you up and change everything. That's not his primary. His goal is to sit with you and dine with you. He loves you. Will he make changes? He's in the home improvement plan. He does that. It's time to surrender. prescription strength. Okay, so this one comes from James chapter 5. You might write down James chapter 5 and read this. There's certain healing you only get when you confidentially and privately share that secret with a Christian leader. So, usually it comes from something that was done to you or you did or habitually did. Maybe there was a dark wound in your past. Someone did something terrible to you, horrific to you. Maybe you were very young. It's horrible. Maybe you were older. But you've tried to lock that away. You've prayed about it. You tried not to think about it. It was done to you. Maybe it's something you did. Or you did habitually. You know the cycle of sin. Okay, I'm never going to do it again. Never. Forgive me, Lord. Never again. Life goes, I'm pretty good. Stress happens. Triggers happen. You do it. I am never going to do this again. Forget that cycle. Who knows what that is. But it's something you don't tell anyone. So James 5 says that there's certain healing that only comes when you share that secret with a trusted Christian leader privately. It is not for public consumption. He says the elders. It's your spiritual mentor. It's your leader. When you share that moment or that pattern and somebody looks across the table at you or across the seat and just says, wow, it's a lot. But I want you to know, I still love you and I still accept you and I still respect you. It doesn't change how I think about you. That's opening the door to Jesus. We are the body of Christ. There's some freedom and healing that only comes when Jesus, through somebody, accepts you. So you sense that healing and acceptance that he has. Regular strength, time with God, open the door, surrender, open the door. Maybe it's sharing that secret. Regular, extra prescription strength. He loves you. I'm praying for you. I pray for you almost every day that you'd have time with God because it changes you. And I get it. I've had seasons where I've been too busy, really busy. And then I said, it's got to be looking like this. And now I don't have enough time for my half hour, 45 minutes, hour, so that I do nothing. Be like, if I don't have an hour to talk to my wife, I'm not going to talk to her. Well, she'd like to have a few minutes more than nothing. And Jesus would like a few minutes more than nothing. It's a game changer. Please open the door. He loves you. Just open the door. He loves you. You may not be a Christian. And you may be an atheist. Well, he believes in you, even if you don't believe in him. 2,000 years ago, he died and rose again. You don't have to believe the Bible is the word of God to believe that Jesus rose again. The best explanation of the historical evidence of the witnesses is that that man died and rose again. I don't know what happened. Don't know how it happened, you think, but he rose. He rose. And he's knocking at the door for you to receive him. So let's pray. God, I pray for people to open the door. I pray for people to hear your voice. You speak all the time in a variety of ways. And I pray we'd hear you. I pray we'd open the door. Whatever that means for people who are Christians to commit to some portion of time a day, an achievable, realistic, most everyday time with you. That is some portion of Bible, some portion of prayer and talking and listening. 3 minutes, 5 minutes. Maybe it's surrendering that area, that person, that relationship, that direction, the finances. Who knows what it is? Maybe it's himself. Maybe it's them receiving Jesus Christ as Savior. As our heads are bowed, let me ask you, if you'd like to give your life to Jesus Christ, you can right now. You can. Maybe you've never received Christ as Savior. You want to make sure right now you can. Call out to him. Say, dear Jesus, right now I receive you as my Savior. Right now I open the door. Right now I confess to you that I am a sinner. I place my faith in the fact that you died and rose for me. I open the door to you. Be my Savior. Be my leader. I receive you as Savior.
thank you for listening to this week's message. If you have questions or would like to contact us for prayer, please email us at info@visitgracechurch.com. For more information about our ministries, location, and service times, go to visitgracechurch.com.